When the cold wind is calling and the sky is clear and bright, misty mountains sing and beckon, lead me out into the light. I will ride, I will fly, chase the wind and touch the sky. I will fly, chase the wind and touch the sky.
Welcome to the Disney Magic Podcast. I'm Joel.
And I'm Megan.
And we like to talk about Disney things.
We do.
Specifically this week, we're talking about Brave.
Yay!
Brave was released, was premiered June 10th, 2012, and then was released June 22nd, 2012, to general audiences. Brave did not receive amazing critical acclaim.
Which is mysterious to me.
I feel like at least some of that came from coming out right after Cars.
Yeah.
And where, like, the Pixar can do no wrong mentality was broken.
I had the exact opposite feeling, especially when I watched these back-to-back. I watched Cars and Brave back-to-back. Or Cars 2 and Brave. And I had the exact opposite feeling of, like, sheer joy at not watching Cars 2 anymore. And instead watching Brave, which is beautiful.
I really like Brave. I was taken aback, like, because I saw it and then read about it. And I was like, oh, I was wrong. Okay, I'm sorry. No. I thought we all really liked this movie together.
You were not wrong. Brave is delightful. I really like Brave. I like the storyline of Brave. And I love my mama. That's what this movie does to me, is immediately makes me cry. I cried 3 times watching this movie. And this is not the first time I've seen this movie.
Brave is the first, I would say, fairy tale that Pixar did.
Yeah, it's the first, like, more Disney type Disney.
Yes, it's a lot Disneyer.
Yeah.
Than Pixar's, like, oh, something new and weird. Like, this is a pretty standard,
yeah,
you know, classical story. However, it is super original.
Yeah. Very unusual.
Which makes Merida, because Merida was inducted into the Disney princess
line.
She is
technically a princess, yeah.
She's the first princess to not be based on a character or, you know, a real person.
Right.
So she's the first original character Disney princess.
Although they often exclude her from the lineup because they can't really seem to figure out how to make her 2D without her looking real weird. And also there's, like, too many of them.
Well, they make, like, a lot of them look real weird in 2D.
Oh, yeah, totally fair. But, like, that was part of the reason why, like, she's not in nearly as much merchandise is because, like, they can't quite figure it out. Like, Rapunzel looks a little weird, but Merida looks way weirder.
Yeah. Well, like, a lot of the older ones also look really weird because they had to, like, update them so they look like they can stand next to the...
Yeah, it's kind of like... If you're used to seeing 1950s Barbie and you look at modern Barbie and you're like, something is wrong here. And so that happens a lot, especially to, like, Aurora and Cinderella, like, their color palettes get all messed up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what hair color that is on Aurora, but it looks like Big Bird and bad. It's bad.
Different.
Literally just yellow. But yeah, she's not included in the princess lineup very often, but she is technically a Disney princess.
Yes. Well, and also, like, right after this Frozen came out, and they got 2 new ones.
Yeah.
That were, like, universally adored, so they're on everything now.
It's true.
We don't need any more princesses.
No more princesses. We're done with the 2, Frozen apparently.
On all of them. Originally, this movie was titled The Bear and the Bow.
I like that title better.
I really like that, yeah.
I feel like, I remember seeing the logo for The Bear and the Bow and being like, yeah, okay. And then I remember hearing they changed it to Brave. And I remember at the time, it was like it was just around when they had changed... Like, Tangled came out just before this, didn't it? And it was,
yeah, Tangled came out just before, and I think Frozen came out right after.
Yeah, so it was a lot of, like, Disney princess movies with one-word titles, and it was like, is this really necessary? Especially because, like, Tangled's kind of cutesy, I guess. I get it, but, like...
Tangled, I go to bat for Tangled because Tangled is not the story of Rapunzel. Like, it's Rapunzel character, but it's a totally different story.
I mean, there was no reason not to name it Rapunzel, but... As far as the title goes, it's clever, at the very least. Like, Brave just feels weird.
Yeah, I don't really care for the title either.
There's not enough context for that, I feel like. And then, like, Frozen is, like, fine, but it seems real boring and cheesy now.
I remember The Bear and the Bow being announced, and just being like, that's so weird title. Like,
yeah.
I knew what all the other stuff was supposed to be, but, like, Toy Story. Oh, yeah. I get this. This is a story about toys.
Yeah.
I know what's going on.
Good job,
I understand what this title's trying to tell me. And The Bear and the Bow didn't really do that. It kind of had this, like, Owl and the Pussycat thing where it was like, let's just find 2 things and send them on an adventure.
I guess, yeah, that is a thing that happens.
So, like, yeah, it was like, you know, I didn't love The Bear and the Bow as a title.
But, like,
I didn't love Brave either. But then I saw the movie and I was like, I get it. I get The Bear and the Bow.
The Bear and the Bow makes a lot more sense.
This totally works for me.
Yeah.
So, they, in this creation of this movie, they made two additional software programs.
One for hair, I assume.
Two for hair.
Oh, okay, both for hair.
Yes.
Her hair is so beautiful.
One of them
is majestic.
Yeah, one of them was specifically made to allow simultaneous 1,500 strands of curls to be able to move together realistically.
Yeah,
with
her
movement.
Yeah.
This
movie is like, it's weird because this movie is like slightly dated now, which is strange. But like her hair is, it's just spectacular. It's really, really cool looking.
Yes. This also is slash was going to be the first Pixar movie with a female director.
Yeah. That got real messy.
Yeah, so Brenda Chapman was the director of the movie.
Yeah.
And is credited as the director of the movie at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
But was taken off the project at some point in the process.
It was weird. It was very, like, they tried to sweep it under the rug. It's like, it's fine, it's fine. And then later it was, like, kind of messy and weird and...
Well, Pixar is a very collaborative thing anyway, so, like, they had these things where, like, yeah, this person directed it, but, like, John Lasseter had a lot to say, and Andrew Stanton had a lot to say anyway, so, like, and I think there was some amount of, like, with Cars 2, somebody was directing it, and they literally got moved to... And to co-director with John Lasseter stepping in as prime director halfway through the process. And I remember that there was a lot of stories being like, honestly, this kind of stuff happens all the time. Every movie we've ever made sucked 18 months before, you know, it came out. And I'm like, and that's the process of movie making, especially at Pixar. So I feel like there was a lot of kind of that spin on it of like,
But it did feel real uncomfortable given that, like, female directors are pretty few and far between in the first place, and then female directors in the animation industry are all but non-existent, and she was, like, they announced this maybe a month before the movie was released. It was, like, really, really short notice.
Yeah.
And it was, it just felt kind of weird and uncomfortable to be like, this is our first movie with a girl in it.
This thing is the first...
For God's sake, a girl!
It was the first female director and the first Pixar movie with a female main character.
Right. And this is, you know, what movie is this for us? It's like a dozen in.
Yeah.
To be like, oh yes, girls, they exist. So, like, for them to basically push off the female director, or at least that's what it felt like in the context of the media...
Yeah.
Like, a month before the movie is released was really, like, uncomfortable and weird.
Well, and then it's a little bit of, like, what did they have left?
Yeah.
And, like, because we're not very clear on, like, what was the, you know, what was the resulted in that call being made.
Right.
But she was, like, you know, wanted something to happen and something wasn't going to happen, and she stood up for something and...
And got pushed off the project, and it was... I don't know what it could have been because it was so last minute.
From what I've looked up, the actual removal of her happened in 2010.
And it was just not announced?
Yeah, like...
That's even weirder. That's even more, like, shady hush-hush weirdness.
I'm very curious because I remember it, like, I remember it all coming up. Like, it was released in June, and I remember, like, that early May when, like, it was an issue. And so I'm really curious if it was, like... announced back in 2010 and we just didn't care because the movie was like, you know, 2 years out and we were like focused on other things at the time.
Maybe.
You know, and it was like just a
but
side press
release. But I definitely remember it being very discussed right before the movie came out.
Yeah, and that totally could have been some people being like, remember this happened and like, you know, and it was, and there was some like boycott Brave talk when it happened because they did this.
Yeah.
And maybe that was just kind of like trying to bring that back up. The original director has, Brenda Chapman has gone on record saying that the movie as a final product that we see is her vision that did come through in that movie, and she's very proud of the movie.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah, that's good.
So I don't think we'll ever know exactly, like,
what happened,
what she wanted, what didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know.
Maybe it was the title.
Maybe it was the title.
This is a stupid title, you guys. Nope. Out. We're done. One-word titles only from now on.
At which case, like... And again, like, I don't know... Because up until having seen the movie, I was like, Baron the Boat is weird.
No, it's a stupid title. Movie. It's a good title.
It is.
If she got kicked off for that, I believe in you.
So, getting into the movie, it starts off with Merida as a kid.
Oh my god, she's so cute. She's so tiny.
And she's having fun. It's her birthday. And it's her parents. And if this movie ended up just being her parents talking to each other and being parents for the entire movie, I'd be 1,000% okay with that.
Yeah.
Because these parents being parents are the most parents thing.
They are the most parenty parents that I have ever seen in a movie, I think, probably. No, they're so cute.
So, it's her birthday. Her dad gets her a bow. She's learning to shoot arrows.
Yep.
She sees some will-o'-the-wisps.
Yeah.
And more new attacks.
Well, it's a bear.
So, I remember watching this the first time and being like, oh, yeah, can't have a princess with two parents.
I know,
gotta
right?
Gotta get rid of one of them.
No, it's just his leg.
So it's just his leg.
Yeah.
So he made off pretty well.
Good job.
I think Mulan has two parents.
Mulan has two parents.
Yeah. I think she might be it.
Give me a sec. Probably, yes.
Like, Rapunzel has two parents that we get at the end that don't talk.
Yeah, okay. No, they talk. There's a couple of scenes where they talk.
Do both of them talk?
Yes.
Okay.
They have a conversation.
All right.
Yes. You're good. Not a lot. They do. They both talk.
All right.
Yeah, I think other than Rapunzel, it's just Rapunzel and Mulan. Yeah.
So.
Everybody else is mostly a dead mom.
Yeah.
Or a dead everybody.
Yeah, it's dead somebody. So.
It's 9 times out of 10.
Princess mom. And the Frog is living mom, dead dad.
Yeah, that's true. But that was unusual.
Switching it up.
Because, yeah. Like, you know, Little Mermaid and.
Oh, yeah, no, it's usually dead mom. So, after they,
Fight the bear.
We jump forward in time to modern time, I guess. To whatever the current time is that this bulk of this story is going to take place. She has three little brothers. And
oh, gosh. Hamish. Yeah, I don't know. They're all like H names.
She has three little brothers who are going to be referred to collectively as her brothers.
Yes.
Since they don't, none of them do anything individual.
No, they don't talk.
So, no.
They're just cute.
And we get the music, because the music in this movie
is phenomenal.
Holy crap.
Just gorgeous.
Oh, this movie. The music in this movie, I can't even.
No, and the music in this movie is what makes me cry most, I think. Because, like, the scenes would be, like, cry-worthy, even if they didn't have the music, but with the music, it just makes it 10 times worse.
It fits so well. It's so, both the songs and just the orchestral.
Yeah.
Score of this movie is so well done. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite Pixar soundtrack.
I think probably.
It fights
either
it,
this or Wall-E.
I say it fights it for Wall-E, but yeah. I think as far as just soundtrack solid, I'm gonna listen to some music.
Yeah. It's good for that.
So
Merida goes writing. So she walks through a little bit of princess lessons. I really, really like that she has to learn to be a princess in this movie, because like other Disney princesses just, like, happen into it by chance, and it's fine, but, like, there's a lot of, like, duties that you have to uphold, a lot of responsibilities that you have to, like, you know, live up to.
Yeah.
That aren't mentioned, like, ruling a damn kingdom. It's not like you just sit on the throne and do nothing. I mean, modern times it is a little bit, but it's still, like, a lot of, like, etiquette stuff, and learning to be even a figurehead is difficult, so yeah. I like that. They go through that whole process in this movie.
That's nice.
Yeah.
She goes riding.
Or is it James Angus? He's so pretty.
And
she doesn't brush her damn horse. It bothers me.
Well, no. She's cleaning out the stable herself.
Well, yeah, but like she gets done with a ride and then doesn't brush her horse. No. No. That horse is going to get all gross.
Well, she also lives in like.
Possibly sick.
You know, whatever hundreds, 1100s to 1500s Scotland. So, like.
Doesn't mean you don't brush your horse. That means brushing your horse is even more important. It's your only means of transportation.
So, we're going to dinner. And.
I love her dad's plate of meat. That's the favorite part about this scene. It's just his entire plate of meat.
I love her dad.
I do too. He's such a dad.
And her mom is such a mom.
It's true.
They're the
it's
most
true.
Parents of any parents I've ever
it's
seen.
True.
So, some letters have come in that all three other clans have accepted to come in suit, be to woo the betrothed, whatever the
to woo the betrothed. betrothed to be suitors for Merida. Yeah.
So, in however that is going to happen.
Yeah.
She's very upset about it, and she goes to her room, and her mom has to calm her down.
She tries.
Yes.
It doesn't work so well.
This is when she tells her the story.
Right, the story of the four brothers.
Yes. So, for all the giant chess nerds out there, these are Lewis Chessman's pieces, which is a chess set that was found, I think, in the 1200s.
Oh.
I think it was not found, but it was made probably in the 1200s. It was found after that, obviously. Somewhere in Scotland. It was like
appropriately themed chess. Mm-hmm. Nice.
That's yeah, it good. Was several chess pieces that were... I think they found somewhere around 90 pieces.
Wow.
And so they're all in British and Scottish museums now.
Cool.
But those were those chess pieces.
Yeah, that's nice.
So, nice. Tells the story of a kingdom with four brothers.
And the king wanted to divide the kingdom equally, and the oldest brother, honestly, unfairly got passed over here, because he would have inherited the whole thing, and then he only gets a fourth of it, and, that seems nice and all, but also, if you're expecting your whole life to inherit the whole damn kingdom, it's a little rude. It's a little rude, Dad.
Yeah, but, if this was a test to see how gracious he was...
He failed real bad. Real bad. And
because his first reaction was, I'm going to be a bear then.
Yeah, he got even more crazy. So, no, fair. But, I can't imagine that as a child when your dad's one day all this will be yours. And then you're just a fourth of it. That's kind of weird.
Maybe, you don't know, the dad could have been forthright the whole time. He's one day a fourth of this will
be yours. Perhaps, perhaps.
Well, I mean, it also could have been one day all this will be yours. Then he had a brother and it's one day half of this will be yours.
Sorry, Timmy has to get half of it.
One day a third of this. Stop having kids.
She pretty much fails at cheering Merida whatsoever. And... she goes to her room to embroider. I love that so much because I totally craft when I am stressed. Her husband comes to talk to her. Eleanor's, what is his name? I can't remember his name. The king.
I don't know, but I thought the mom's name was Helena till about a minute 20 into this movie when somebody other than the dad said it with Eleanor. That thick Scottish accent.
Super Scottish accent. But my name is Merida, and I want to fire arrows into the sunset to never be married. That thing is the best part of this movie.
Yeah. So the suitors come to the castle.
Oh, no, first we get a scene of Merida mucking out the stables and talking angrily to her horse.
Oh, yeah.
Merida really needs some friends, real bad. Every Disney princess needs some friends, and it still weirds me out that they, never have them. But Merida especially really needs some sort of friend, just any sort.
That's her Disney princess animal. It's just a giant horse instead of, a bird.
I know, but at least with, Flounder and Sebastian, they can talk. Angus can't talk. It's just looks too funny and... is giant. It's not really... She needs a friend.
She needs some sort of confidant here. Yeah. So, the suitors show up to the castle.
Yeah.
By the way, the castle's name is Castle Dunbrock.
Yeah.
Which literally translates to castle, castle, castle.
That is the best. Thanks, Pixar.
So, everybody shows up at castle, castle, castle.
Yeah.
And,
Merida is getting ready.
Yes.
This is the one scene that really bothers me about this movie, because that's not accurate historical undergarments, and tight lacing did not exist until the Victorian period, maybe stays like that were just used for support and comfort more than anything, because, if your options are, for at least most women, bra or not a bra, you're probably going to wear a bra, so similarly, stays or not stays, you're probably going to wear some stays, and, that ridiculous trope of things being too tight and having to be tiny is really, really modern. That's not... No. No. That's stupid. And it bothers me.
Sorry.
That's okay. It's just this, 2-minute scene of, no. No, 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 no.
As somebody who doesn't know the fashion of the 1200s in Scottish, I can understand, she's feeling constrained in her life. I see the metaphor in the clothing.
I get the metaphor, but it was not a... correct metaphor at all.
So, the way that the tradition dictates is that the suitors will compete for her hand, in a game of her choosing.
Yeah.
And the tradition specifically states that each firstborn will be compete for hand instead of each first son. And so she spies a clever loophole.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like the introduction of the clans.
I love how much a mess everything is in this movie. Anytime you see their castle, it's a mess. And I really like that because it's a nice... It's, like, first of all, fairly accurate.
Yeah.
And also just a nice contrast to very prim and proper princessy things that Disney's done in the past. But, yeah, there's, like, dogs everywhere and a whole bunch of dead animals. Mm-hmm. And the guys are really loud and they drink a lot. And, yeah, it's nice. It looks like fun.
Yes. There's Clan MacGuffin, Clan MacIntosh, and I don't remember the third clan off the top of my head.
Is that it? I don't remember.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Clan MacIntosh may or may have not have been a reference to actual MacIntosh. I mean, there is an actual real Clan MacIntosh, but this was the first Pixar movie since Steve Jobs died.
Aww.
So that may or may not have been a reference. Also, Meredith eats, like, a lot of apples in this movie.
Does.
That's actually the only thing we see her eat in this whole movie is apple. Huh. So I don't know if that's a reference. I don't know if that's an intentional reference or not, but it's a, oh, hey, that's a thing.
Oh, another side note. We see her mother's green dress in this scene. Her green dress is based on a painting, a portrait of Lady Macbeth by John Singer Sargent. And it's like, they found bits and pieces of similar extant garments that are, she's got like shiny things on her dress, right? And
yeah.
They look like beads. They're beetle's wings, like iridescent beetle wings.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that's a thing that exists. In case you wonder, also that portrait is like mildly terrifying. Like Lady Macbeth,
yeah,
like she's crowning herself in the portrait. I can't remember the name of the actress, but she looks like real intense. So every time I see that portrait, I'm like, that's not Eleanor. Oh my god, calm down.
So not even like the actual suitoring, but like just the instructions process breaks down into a fight.
It's twice. So good. Twice. Yeah. Yeah. Boys.
There are people who play instruments during it, which I'm assuming are bards.
Yeah, they've got bagpipes. I just love that, like, several times during this movie, bagpipers get hit with things.
Yeah. So, because of Merida's loophole, she chooses archery.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, at the games,
which is basically a Renaissance festival. That looks so much like the fair to me. Like, yeah, okay, I know what this is.
Well, it's the Highland Games. It's, you know, the throwing the big stick, the trunk. And, you know,
I remember
other stuff.
Caber? Caber toss?
Yeah, there you go.
Look at me. Knowing things. Knowing words.
And so we go to the archery, and we get terrible shot, all right shot, accidental bullseye shot.
And then Merida takes her shot, and... gets bullseye in everyone and splits the arrow in the last run.
Yes. And is now in trouble.
I remember that was one of the first shots we saw from this movie, was her, like, pulling back the bow. And just, like, the texture on her skin and the sound of her breathing and her hair, I just remember being like, wow. Like, damn.
Well, like, so the bow, like, the way the bow flexes.
Yeah, the way the arrow moves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all so good.
It's just really, really impressive.
Really, like, A-plus job and great choice of a first clip to show from a movie.
Yeah. So her and her mom are fighting.
And Merida says the word to her mother's embroidery.
Yeah.
Oh, that's painful.
So, there's a clip later in this movie where we get another little flashback of Kid Merida being scared of a storm.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother is embroidering. Is that the same?
That's the same piece.
So, she's been working on that piece.
Yeah, there's a reason her brothers aren't in there. It's because she's been working on that piece since Merida was a child. Like, all of that, I would assume, is embroidered. It's not... It's, like, literally the whole of the fabric. Especially with how she drags it around. Mm-hmm. That thing is heavy because it's entirely covered in like, thread.
Yeah.
She's been working on that since Merida was, like, 2.
So...
And Merida is now 16?
16. Yeah.
14 years of embroidery work.
Chop it up.
Totally ruined. Ugh.
And, of course, she cuts it right in between, so she splits where her mom and her are holding hands.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of symbolism in this movie.
Yeah, there is.
The clothing, this tapestry.
Yep.
So it's a lot of fabric-based symbolism. Yeah,
a lot of fabric. And Eleanor, in retaliation, throws her bow in the fire. But what I find really interesting is, like, Eleanor immediately regrets it. Like, the minute Merida leaves, she tries to scrape it out of the fire. But, like, Merida seems to show little to no remorse. Even when she's thinking about the tapestry later and she thinks that she has to repair it, she thinks that's what'll fix things, she still doesn't seem to feel guilty.
There's not a whole lot of acknowledgement of the amount of time that has gone into that tapestry.
Which I think is partially because Merida probably just finds embroidery terribly boring. I would not be surprised. But also partially because, like, as an adult, especially towards your child, you realize how much those sorts of gestures make a difference. But when you're, like, a teenager and you're kind of petulant anyway, like, you just don't even think about it, really.
Yeah.
And, like, guilt over those sorts of things is just not something that crosses your mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, Eleanor immediately, like, gets on her hands and knees and tries to rake it out of the fire.
And it comes out fine. Like, the string popped, but...
Eh. Well, I don't... The thing is like, I don't even think that's the bow she was given as a child. That has to be a newer bow.
I'm assuming it's a newer bow.
Super tiny.
Yeah.
Like, and it was proportioned to her as a child, so, like, it must be a newer bow. So, like, her bow is much easier to replace than the 14 years of embroidery that went into that. So...
Well, yeah. So she runs into the woods.
Yeah.
And comes to the circle of rocks.
Yeah. The henge.
Yeah, that's gonna be real important in this movie.
It is a real important. They come back to that all the time.
Yeah.
It's very cyclical, if you will. Circle puns.
And so this is when the wisps appear again.
Yeah. They lead her to the witch's cavern.
Yes.
The woodcarver's cavern. I'm sorry.
I adore this crazy lady.
I love her so much. I love my favorite part is probably her, like, answering machine, her answering cauldron later, but she's so goofy, and her whole cabin is just full of carvings of bears, just a million bears, which, like, later you learn, like, oh, maybe that's all she can do. Bears is all she can do, which is, like, not a terrible option.
Yeah.
But bears, that's it.
But, like, she... You know, later on the answering cauldron talks about, like, well, it's, you know, bear-themed novelties and trinkets.
Bear-themed, yeah. And, like, if you look around, pretty much everything is a bear.
Yeah.
So.
Except for one wood carving.
Pizza Planet truck.
Which is a Pizza Planet truck.
Yeah.
So.
That was a really clever way to hide.
They squeeze the Pizza Planet truck into Brave. So, at this point, Incredibles is just a slacker movie.
Yeah. Like, really, really slacking.
Like, come on.
You're not even trying, guys.
So... I really like this. I really like the crow and the broom having a little personality. And so we have this time where she's, you know, the witch woodcarver.
Yeah.
Where she keeps showing her things.
Yeah.
And so the little things that she shows her foreshadow the rest of the movie.
They do.
So they have, like, the whimsy of the knocking a pot around, which is... her knocking stuff around in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have, the next one is a bear catching fish.
Yeah.
And then the next one is literally the painting, the creation of Adam, God reaching down, Adam reaching up, touching with bears in it.
Bears.
But then they do that in real life when Mordu is reaching for Merida and the mom's reaching for Merida and it's an up-down thing. So.
Perfect.
I really want to know what order the creative process went in.
It was probably, like, they probably already had the woodcutter's cabin. They probably already had the back and forth and then just put it in later where it was, like, each piece was that specifically.
But, like, here's this famous painting, but with bears, is a silly enough joke
that's
in and of
itself.
That's
true. It might have been there initially. Who knows?
And then to actually have, like, oh, but that's literally this actual thing later in the movie. I don't know. It's funny.
So she eventually concedes and gives her a cake to change her mother's, or to change her fate.
To change her mother.
Yeah.
Which is classic, you know.
Genie wish type thing, yeah.
We can easily mess this up without a problem.
And she takes it back to the castle and gives it to her mom. And they have like kind of a conversation ahead of time.
A reconciliation?
A little, but her mom is clearly, like, not quite changing her mind, so it's clear that, like, Merida is still gonna have to go through it.
She acknowledges that, you know, she was gone and missing and scared.
Yeah.
And there is that, like, I was so scared, I was so worried. But we moved quite along to, like, yeah, but we're still where we were when this happened.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
So her mom eats the pastry. A little bit of it.
It apparently doesn't taste good.
No, it doesn't look like it. And she turns into a bear.
Yes.
It is a big bear. That is not like a small bear.
No, it's a 9-foot tall bear.
It's a giant bear.
They actually had to shrink the bear sometimes because Merida was too small
to
get both of their heads in frame when they needed it. So it's supposed to be a 9-foot bear when it's standing on its feet. But
it's a big bear. Mm-hmm. What kind of bear is it? The black bear?
Big. I think it's just a bear. Like,
yeah, it's not.
I think grizzlies, you know, tower at a good 7.5 feet at their biggest.
Yeah.
So, like, bears. 9-foot bear is big bear.
The boys help her get their mom out of the castle, which is really precious.
I really like Bear Mom is still being a mom. I like that she is lecturing her.
She's like,
while pacing.
Yeah, she's like prissy in her mannerisms, and she like tries to clothe herself, which is hilarious. Her poor dress is just entirely wrecked.
I like that the boys are doing some raising havoc thing, and she's making them put stuff back.
Yep, it's so good.
I love the look, or they give Merida a look exasperated, and then she gives Merida a look exasperated.
Yep. It's all, I really, really, really love the family dynamics in this movie.
Yeah.
Especially, like, growing up, my mom and I had a really hard time seeing eye to eye, so the relationship between Merida and her mother just is so, so familiar to me, which makes this movie, like, super, like, gut-wrenchingly wanting to hug my mom. Like, every time I watch this movie, I'm like, oh, I gotta call my mama. So bad.
It does build a really good relationship between a daughter of that age,
yeah,
and a mom, yeah.
And like, but like their general family dynamic is really good. Just the brothers just being absolutely over the top insane, and their dad being like really like totally okay with that, and their mom trying to be like, nope, put things back, do things right. It's just a nice family mechanic, which is pretty unusual because again, typically parents die in Disney movies. So
I would like to see a Brave 2 where they just go on a road trip.
I would like to see older boys. I would love to see them dealing with, like, 3 teenage boys. That would be hilarious.
That would be really good.
Yeah.
And when they're of suitor age, and they're needing to go about and see,
I would love to see Merida have to take the boys somewhere, and her to take on Eleanor's role, and the boys to just continue to wreak havoc.
Okay, but I need a subplot where, like, the mom and dad are just, like, remodeling the kitchen or something.
Yes, I would watch that, yes, okay. Perfect.
Pixar. Brave 2. Well done.
Call us, Pixar. We will make the movie for you.
So we get out. We get
to the woodcutter's cabin.
Yes.
The carver's cabin.
The witch's cabin. The witching woodcutter.
And we get the delightful answering machine cauldron.
Yes. And we get a mysterious poem, which I don't remember.
Mending the bond.
Yes, but basically means, it's going to mean you need to sew that thing back up.
Well, that's what Merida assumes it means. But, like, really it just means, like, you need to get along better with your mom.
Well, so if she had not sewn the thing up,
I think it would have been fine.
Would it have been fine? Because, like, otherwise, it's really convenient, like.
Yeah.
And it's convenient because we find out later, like, you know, the brother had been separated there.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, apparently any family portrait you do.
I mean, I think it probably
destroyed a lot of specific lines.
I don't know that it is actually necessary. I think the word mend was just very vague there, purposefully.
So
I think it also, like, that context really makes Merida think from her mother's perspective a little bit, which I think helps the tapestry mending. So basically, they have 2 days to figure things out, or she's going to be a bear forever.
Yeah. Well, they have 2 sunrises, so basically they have 1 day.
1 day, more or less.
They have a day and a night.
They fall asleep outside, and there is the sweetest flashback I've ever seen in my entire life, and it makes me cry. Every time, I can't even listen to the song, it will make me cry. Just tiny little Merida singing in Gaelic. Just, nope, every time. Mm-mm. I can't do it. And there's, like, a storm, and they sing a song, and She's working on that tapestry. Yeah, that same tapestry.
Mm-hmm. So that's, yeah. Mm-hmm. We wake up in the morning and the mom has prepared the table, literally preparing a table.
Yeah, yeah, as a bear, prim and proper, with her crown still on.
The crown still on, with sticks that she found that resembled forks and knives.
Yep.
And so they're poison berries and gross water.
Yep.
So she has to teach her mom how to fish.
Yeah.
And they show this picture of a stream and a fish swimming in the stream, which I'm like 85% sure is actually a live action shot from some sort of nature documentary.
Yeah.
Like there's that scene and there's one scene where like she leans on a tree mm-hmm. and it's a pine tree. And I'm like, nope, that's just an actual tree. They filmed the tree and stuck some animation. And I do not believe that's an animated tree.
No.
That is too realistic of a tree to be animated.
This song also makes me cry. There's a song in this sequence too. Pretty much any song with words in this movie automatically makes you cry. It's like immediate. If you ever needed me to cry on cue, there you go. That's how you do it.
This is a very cute scene. I like the playing in the water. The fish antics are funny.
The really silly mom mannerisms.
Yeah. It's nice to see them getting along.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like the end goal is to, not be a bear anymore.
Yeah, but you can't do anything on an empty stomach.
Yeah, but there's a lot of, like, teaching her how to be a bear.
That's true. That is weird.
When, like, don't want her to be a bear anymore, and B, have a time limit to keep her from being a bear anymore.
That's true. It does seem a little languid for such a short time period to fix things.
Yes.
But I think it needed to be here so we could see them actually getting along and having fun together, because we've only seen them argue.
Yeah.
Aside from her childhood.
I get why it's important. I get what it does for the story.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to have taken a really long time.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
It's by the time they, start on the, let's solve this bear problem, it's like practically nighttime again.
Yeah.
It feels like the bulk of the day was,
fishing.
Yeah.
This is also the first instance we see of Eleanor losing her consciousness.
Personhood?
Yeah, her...
Yeah, she becomes a bear humanity, on the inside as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really nice, because that makes Mordu less of a person.
Yeah.
So
you don't feel so weird about him dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you don't feel so weird about, his spirit at the end being cool.
Yeah. No, that's true.
He can still be, a person and give him the nod of it's a nice thank you for freeing me nod instead of a you killed me, what up with that?
yeah
So which would have been really weird, except we see the mom go full bear a couple of times, which helps.
They're led to the ruins by the wisps, and Mordu is there, but also the statue with the four brothers.
Yes.
And the fourth brother being broken off.
Yeah, they found it was a throne room, so
that's a much harder problem to fix, by the way. I mean, she doesn't do a good job of fixing the embroidery, but, you can fix embroidery. You can't really fix stone.
Stone, yeah.
Glue it back together.
Maybe if you push it back together, it's symbolically...
Cross your fingers. Helps. I don't know. Carve a new one.
In 2 days before the second sunrise?
I don't know. Maybe Mordu's real good at stone carving. Or actually, maybe he's really terrible at it, and that's why he didn't get to turn back into a
human. He was trying mm-hmm. the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And they get away from him safely. Mordu is really scary.
He is. This is a good scary bear.
He's a big, big bear, and he's all, scarred up and creepy looking.
So, she touches the stones.
Right.
And it flashes to Mordu hitting the stones with an axe mm-hmm. while being a bear. And then it flashes to her cutting the tapestry.
Right.
Does she actually see that?
I don't think so.
Are we, just inferring this?
I don't know.
Watching it the first time, and watching it this time again, it feels like making the jump to, so the tapestry solves it is a bit of a jump. Since it's not really associated with this bear issue. It's, just something that happened before it.
Well, I think the word mend does that a lot. And then, I guess her realization that, when she said, I think at this point she realizes that when she said she was talking about that prince, she meant the prince from the legend who eventually became Mordu, because all she could do is turn people into bears. So, carve bears, all she can do is bears.
Yeah, bear-related things.
Which, not bad. again. That's my former D&D character. I played a druid, you guys, and all I did was turn into bears and summon bears. So.
And it worked out really well.
It did. Bears kill people real fast. But this movie has an extra soft spot in my heart because of that, because bears. So they get away from Mordu, and they decide to go back to the castle to fix the tapestry.
Yes. So we get to the point where I do take a little bit issue with this movie. One, because nothing's ever explained to anybody of, like, hey, don't kill this bear, maybe.
Well, and she tries with her father, eventually.
She tries with her father when she's forced into that corner.
Yeah, it seems weird that she wouldn't just tell her that. She doesn't pop up.
And they do say a little bit at the beginning, like, your father doesn't believe in magic kind of thing. But I still feel like any kind of, like, hey, this is a safe, trained bear.
Yeah.
Or maybe, like, the bear mom is not going to be doing the sewing of the tapestry. She has bear claws.
She doesn't have to be there.
Yeah, so can she not wait while Merida goes?
Yeah, no.
Sews the tapestry.
I think it was mostly just to make things awkward.
Yeah.
And also she does have to coach her through that speech.
She does have to coach her through the speech, and, like, that's important and stuff, but, like, there's a big gaping hole in the plan of our protagonists here.
That's
not
totally
really addressed.
Fair. That's really not necessary. So the court has just dissolved into anarchy without Eleanor there, which I love. I love that. And Merida has to fix it. So
I do like, so there's, like, some weapon firing happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this moment a while back where we introduce the three sons.
Yeah.
And for the third son, there's this big, you know, hulking massive dude.
Massive man. And then behind him is the actual son.
And so I like when arrows are fired at that particular clan, everybody ducks, except for big hulking massive dude who catches the arrow.
Yeah.
He is my favorite No Words character.
I really love him, yeah.
Maybe ever.
Just a giant man. I really like this little sequence where Merida walks through the fighting, because Eleanor did so earlier. It's a nice little parallel for them being the voice of reason, because they really need a voice of reason. And I think this scene in particular is really the scene where you get the most connection between the two of them. Even though, like, Eleanor doesn't talk at all in the scene because she's a bear.
Yeah.
She has a little bit of pantomiming, and that's okay. But
they're really good at charades, by the way.
They're real good at charades. They must play it on, like, boy-girl teams and win every time. Because
this communication is rock solid.
Which is impressive because they can't seem to talk to each other. But I think this scene is really where Merida begins to realize that her decisions have an impact not only on her, not only on her family, but on her clan and on her country, more or less, her kingdom. And I think that's really, like, her biggest problem in the beginning is that she doesn't even connect how much her decisions affect others.
Right.
Which is so common for a 16-year-old. Like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
They just think they're immortal and can do whatever they want and everything will be fine.
There's not a whole lot of, like, exactly what caused the mom to change her mind.
Yeah, I think that...
And it's not a problem. It's not really an issue of, like, you know, it doesn't feel like a plot hole like the other thing does.
Yeah.
But there's nothing that happens that you can clearly point to being like, this is what caused her to change her mind.
Right.
Have a second way of looking at things.
I do think that Merida's part of the speech, the first part of the speech, is probably a big part of what pushed her in that direction. Just her, you know, owning up to her decisions and apologizing, which is clearly not a common thing for Merida. and
what I really like about this scene is how similar she is to her mom in this scene. Yeah. Like you said, like, so much of this movie, she's clearly her father's daughter.
Yeah.
Like, both in appearance and in mannerisms.
Yeah.
So, and the boys are as well, so... Mm-hmm. You know, this poor mom is clearly the odd one out in the family.
Yeah. Overstressed.
So it's nice to see her be her mother's daughter as well.
Yeah, yeah. Her mom decides to let them choose. I mean, at the very least, I think also in this scene, it's pretty clear with how ridiculous it's gotten in the castle that no matter who they choose, the other two are going to be really angry that they chose that one as opposed to them.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not a terrible bureaucratic decision in general to be like, no, let's just wait on it because, like, they might just kill each other if we don't. And
also, all the boys seem to agree with
this
plan.
Theoretically, I don't know about that last one. No, no. I love him. It's like one of my favorite things. I know all his lines have like translations.
Yeah, young MacGuffin. He's speaking something called Doric, which is spoken in the northeastern Scotland, and in the hometown of Kevin the Kid, who is the actor there. Kevin the Kid is a fairly famous actor. He's a good TV actor. He's on Grey's Anatomy a lot. He's that Scottish guy. Like, there's
great accent.
And he loved doing this movie because this is the first time he's pretty much ever gotten to use his natural Scottish accent.
Yeah, his actual Scottish accent that's, like, mildly undiscernible.
That's the thing, is, like, he tends to have a Scottish accent in everything he does, and it's still not his natural Scottish accent.
They have to, like, dial it back a little bit so he's understandable.
So he loved doing this movie, apparently.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. They, like, manage to get off scot-free until they get up to the room to get the tapestry, and Meredith's dad barges in and sees the bear and tries to attack it.
I like that he's coming up the stairs going, guess what problem I solved?
Yeah, guess what I did? Like, good job, Dad.
Because I will totally do that where I was like, this problem was solved. Somebody has to take credit for
it. I was there for it.
I mean, might as well be me.
Yeah, totally. Meredith tries to explain to him what's going on, and it doesn't really work.
Well, he goes to their room first, and he sees a destroyed bed and a shredded dress and bear scratches everywhere.
Yeah.
And like, then the very next room he looks in has a bear.
He had seen the bear the night before and gone hunting for it and not seen it, so his automatic assumption is that Elnor's been eaten by a bear, which, like, that's pretty true.
Yeah, he's not jumping to a crazy conclusion here.
But he's also really not listening to Merida.
Well, there's not really time. There's a bear attacking.
That's fair.
And this family doesn't have the best track record with bears.
No, not so much. And so he locks Merida up in her room. Or in their
room. The room. The tapestry room.
Their room. It should be their room. Because that was the parents' room.
Well, the parents' room was the one that got trashed. The tapestry's not in the parents' room.
Guest room? I don't know.
It's whatever tapestry
room. It's like room. A den.
Side discussion room.
Bear den. Get it? Oh, ha, 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 ha. Yeah. The boys get her out. The boys who are now bears.
Yes, the boys ate pieces of the cake.
Because of course they did.
And they are, now bears.
So they managed to get out of the castle. And my favorite thing about this is they're riding away on the horse. Merida and the three bear boys. And she manages to not only be able to tell them apart when they're human, but she manages to tell them apart when they are bears. She calls them each individually by their correct names.
That is a good big sister.
Yeah, yeah. Which, like, you know, I feel like for twins, it's not that bad, but for triplets at that age, to be able to tell them apart is really, really impressive. And then when they're bears, I love that you can do that. Yeah. That's awesome.
She's sewing the tapestry while riding the horse.
It's not very good.
Which I would have called out, except she also did all that arrow archery shooting earlier.
Yeah,
she's probably just real good at horses.
Yeah, yeah. She's clearly pretty good at riding.
And so we get back to the stone circle.
Yep.
And Mordu attacks.
Yeah.
And does his Mordu thing.
Well, they've got Elnor all roped off too.
Yes.
And there's bear fight. Bear fight was great.
A bear fight.
It was awesome.
Which is really, really emotional.
Yeah.
And really good. It's a good bear fight.
It's a fight with bears. Like, that's all I want from a movie with bears in it, right?
I do like that Mordu is clearly the more powerful beast.
He's definitely bigger.
And he's winning. And I like that she wins with, you know, human intellect cunning.
Yeah.
So I don't think a bear would have figured out how to, you know, spring that trap.
Right. So, yeah, he gets crushed by one of the rocks. The rocks are breaking, and she pushes him into it.
And the spirit of the eldest son from the legend comes out and gives a nod.
Yep.
Which is cool, because otherwise it'd be weird, like we said.
Yep. And Elnor changes back, and then I cry for the third time. Everything's fine. Fine. I love that she puts the tapestry around her. The tapestry's massive, so it fits around bear Elnor.
and that it's just her afterwards. Like, I like in the giant tapestry.
And the boys change back as well.
They're giant makeup brothers. They're so cute.
They're all tiny. They're there's a lot of butts in this movie.
There's a lot of butts in this movie.
The three kids all
show
the butts.
A lot of naked people in this movie.
they have to. There's one point early in the movie where they get trapped on the roof. Yeah. And they have to use their pants to make a rope to the ground.
Yes.
A lot of butts in that scene.
There's a lot of mooning scenes with the kilts. There's a lot of butts. Good butts. Good butts movie.
Yeah.
There's some scenes of them together after she's, like, fixed and things are better.
Yeah, things are better.
They're, like, embroidering together, which is really sweet.
Which, for that first one to take 14 years, yes. Like, they pretty much got this one. It's not done, but it's pretty good. It's really close.
Well, okay. It's probably fast for two people. And also, the boys are getting old enough to, like, function on their own. Baby triplets do not exactly condone good embroidery time, now do they?
That's a good point.
Yeah. She wears her hair down. Eleanor wears her hair down. It's another one of those, like, constraint.
Metaphor.
And, yeah.
Metaphor. It's not a cloth metaphor, but
no,
it's still a...
It's a
style metaphor.
A physical clothing metaphor. And they go riding together, which is really sweet.
They
and
do.
I believe that horse, in the very beginning of the movie, Eleanor rides off with Merida on a horse when Mordo attacks. And I'm pretty sure that horse is the same horse, which is delightful.
That's nice.
Yeah.
The suitors are going away.
Yep.
We get a very brief shot of the giant stoic hulk of a man.
Yeah, with the maid lady
yes.
who I love, who just screams the entire movie. Poor, poor, long-suffering Maudie, I think is her name.
So,
poor thing.
I like them together.
I do, too.
That's adorable.
Yeah, good for her.
Brave is just a solid movie.
It's really good.
Like, it's a good thing that I feel like there's a lot of things where they're like, we're going to do a new fairy tale.
Yeah, and it falls real flat.
It's a lot of like, I get what you're trying for, but there's just like something that doesn't quite fit.
A lot of times it tends to be that when when people try and make new fairy tales, they try and make them very modern. And unless it's actually set in a very modern setting, it just doesn't work very well. And also at this point, it's kind of old hat. Like, I get it. New fairy tale. Okay. But Brave manages to...
It feels like a... Hans Christian Andersen fairy
yeah,
tale.
Yeah, it totally feels like something Brothers Grimm had. And some of that is definitely, like, attributes of this are very, very much like other fairy tales. And also, they managed to make Merida headstrong and difficult and not wanting to get married, which is super common in, like, modern things,
mm-hmm.
without making her seem like, I am a modern feminist woman and these
yeah.
are my decisions. It fits well in the context of the time period without seeming too modern. And the like magical elements are not overpowering. There's not too much of them, but they still have like a definite impact on the story. And there's most of the story is just about family.
It feels like there is a, you know, grim fairy tale version of this story
yeah.
that I can look up and
somewhere
be like
yeah.
in the original story,
yeah.
you know, Merida had to like give a gallon of blood for this to work. Isn't
yeah.
that creepy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, I feel like there is that version of the story, and so I can see, like, where the witch is creepy in the original story, and, you know,
yeah,
Disney slash Pixar made the funny witch.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
like, they added the three brothers in for comic relief.
Yeah.
But it's still, it feels like one of those stories. It feels like the way that Disney adapted these fairy tales for
right.
a fun, family-friendly, appropriate cartoon with a strong moral message in it.
Yeah, but it doesn't exist. It never existed in the first place. They
right.
just made love. it does a really good job of balancing itself, I think.
It does. Yeah, and I love that there's a family.
Yeah.
We don't get that much.
And, like, the family dynamics are so perfect. They're so good.
Mm-hmm.
And...
it's staggeringly well done.
Yeah.
Because you can take any two characters in this family and be like, I really like this relationship.
Yeah,
like, the relationship
yeah.
Merida has with her mom and with her dad, the relationship the parents have together, the way that, like... the dad interacts with the boys.
Yeah, it's very
you know?
Different from how the mother does, and very
mm-hmm.
different from how Merida does.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, puts up with them.
So
it's a nice combination of things, and it feels really genuine and really very authentic. And mother daughter stories are not super common, and when they are, they're really cheesy or weird. Like, there's a lot of them I've read that I'm like, ugh, like,
mm-hmm.
this is not how my mom and I are, but this is how my mom and I are, especially when I was a teenager. That's pretty much exactly what happened. Like, my mother's expectations of me were not what I wanted. It's funny because, like, the older I get, initially, honestly, watching this movie, I took Eleanor's side more than Meredith's because I'm older. But it's nice to feel like neither perspective is necessarily wrong. They're just not communicating.
Yeah.
And they're both having a hard time trying to figure out what the other wants and why.
There's no antagonist in this movie. I mean, there's Mordu, but he's like, at this point, a force of nature that's a problem.
Yeah.
Like, it's,
yeah.
you know, all the people, nobody has ill intent. Nobody
it could
has...
have been so easily, like, my mom is terrible and I hate her, or my child is ridiculous and she's too difficult to handle, in the way that, like...
Or any of the clans could have been, like, bad clan that's going to go to war over this, and then we have to fight them.
The most similar storyline I can pick out from... Aside from Brother Bear has a very similar storyline, because bears. And
turning into bears,
yeah. So, like, Brother Bear has a pretty similar thing, but other than that, Little Mermaid has a very similar, like, I'm 16 and I can do what I want, but Ariel's dad is clearly painted in a bad light, and he does things like destroy her stuff, and in a way that is, like, irreparable, you know, like, her stash of goodies is gone, whereas, you know, like... Meredith's mom can get her another bottle, it's fine. but it also feels much more equal. It feels much more like both of them are trying to do the right thing. It's just that they think the right thing is very different things.
Yeah.
And it's done so well.
No, I love it. I don't get any dislike for this.
I don't know either.
I don't.
The only thing I can assume is maybe somebody really hates teenage girls, but that's stupid.
You know, I get that this is, it's honestly more traditional of a Disney movie than Pixar has done
That's
before.
That's totally true.
So I could...
If you're really sick of princess movies, maybe this isn't the one for you. But...
Yeah. And I've said it before several times on this podcast, like, I was super sick of, like,
totally
Disney was for girls because princesses were friggin' everywhere.
So many princesses.
And they made a boy one, and then Desmond was the main character in all the merchandise and the TV show.
Yeah.
And friggin', okay, it's called Aladdin. So I get in that mindset, you know, this, like... Oh, here's some stuff geared towards me, and now they're making a princess movie.
Yeah.
But, like...
It's been really, long enough.
It's also really good.
And, like, the thing is that, like, this was really the first, and still one of the only, I would say Inside Out is the only other Pixar movie that really has...
Yeah, as of this recording, has
girl protagonists
characters,
at all, which is a little insane. Like, you know, we're 50% of the population. Can you give us 50% of your movies? That'd be great. But... Yeah, it's still, like, so little of it that, I mean, it doesn't feel that awkward to me at all. But I'm also a girl, and I'm biased, so.
I mean, I also, you know.
Would like more girl movies, please.
This movie did come out when I was a grown-up, so I was over that, like, phase.
Yeah.
So I didn't have that hang-up.
Can't do girl things. I think also that Pixar balances their movies really well in that, like, Disney tends to be veered really one way or really the other, but Pixar tends to... At least modern Pixar, like the older movies, not so much, but more recent films have definitely tried to balance that a lot better.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it does. It feels more like a Disney movie than a Pixar movie.
Mm-hmm.
As well as you can distinguish those, like it's becoming harder and harder to distinguish
it's
them.
It's
gonna become kind of the same thing. It is. But this is part of that, and so, and yeah, I think maybe the Cars 2 thing happened, and so there's like
there was immediate backlash.
The Pixar is perfect, you know.
That kind of shattered.
Glasses came off.
Yeah.
Because there were movies before Cars 2 where I'm like, well, there's issues with this.
Yeah.
No, Pixar is perfect.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah. And like, I like Brave more than movies that came before Cars 2 by a long shot for some of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the combination of Cars 2 and like the weirdness surrounding the, production of this movie got a little strange and probably didn't help.
But watch the movie because it's good.
It's amazing. It's awesome.
So, all right. Next time we're going to be doing Monsters University.
Yeah.
So their first prequel.
Weird.
So yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah.
All right. Until next time. Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody. Gobbling up my leg. I'll hunt you, then I'll skin you, hang your noggin on a peg. Mordu, 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 Mordu. You're ancient as the Highlands and as unforgiven too. Mordu, 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 Mordu. Now the time has come for all of us to slaughter you. Yeah.
It's bigger than a Cullen, killing Arby's with its paws. But do it's never happy till the blood runs from its jaws. He possesses the mountain.